Ladies and gentlemen,
Breakfast with Friends on CCFM 107.5.
And time for us to say good morning to Mr. Michael Swain. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jonathan, and good morning to your listeners.
So good to be chatting to you again, although this morning a very serious conversation that we need to have, and that is around freedom of religion in our beautiful country. Michael, I mean, first and foremost, Beloftebos is front of mind, and it's something that we've spoken about a lot. It's a wedding venue, and they have said, because of their beliefs, that they don't wish to host a certain type of wedding. Just give us a brief update, and then, give us a brief history, I should say, and then a quick update, if you don't mind.
Well, the case really involves now two parties. The first case has been brought by the South African Human Rights Commission, and the second case is now being brought by a second couple. And basically, both couples, the venue declined to host their wedding for exactly the same reason, that it's not that they discriminate against people on the grounds of their sexuality, and you can love who you love and live how you live, but they just simply don't believe that, although everybody is welcome at their venue, and they really have had many cases in the past where everybody, of all race, color, creed, belief, sexual orientation, have come to their venue, but they don't believe they should be forced to celebrate every event. And of course, a marriage is a very significant thing for Christians, and they are sincere Christians. And not only is the Bible teaching, and most people believe this for thousands of years, that it is between one man and one woman, but specifically it symbolizes the union of Christ as the groom and the church as the bride. So it has a deep symbolic meaning. And so for that reason, for example, they would not celebrate a polygamous marriage. And equally, they wouldn't celebrate other events on their venue that they don't believe in or approve from a spiritual point of view, like a Halloween party. So this is a very significant case. So the first question we've asked in the responding papers is, why is the Human Rights Commission taking essentially the sides and prejudging this? Because it's an equality case. This is where you have two equal rights, rights of religion, conscience and belief, and rights to sexual orientation. But yet the Human Rights Commission has decided to just accept one, even though our law says there is no hierarchy. And secondly, and I think disturbingly in this now second action, there's a claim for 2 million rand of punitive damages.
What?
So, you know, it's not simply that people are trying to fight for their equality rights, but they're actually saying that if you don't believe and support as I believe, you will be punished. And we believe that that really adds a very serious dimension to this case that wasn't there previously.
Sure. That is really, really interesting and a little bit disturbing, if I can put it as bluntly as that. Then the second thing that's happening is with regard to a different religion wanting to file a lawsuit. Tell us about that.
Again, now this is a Durban case in Chatsworth, in fact, and the South African Hindu Dharma Sabha has taken out a case against an evangelist and the church for remarks that were made in a church service where they stated that the Hindus worship idols and other gods, and that the name of Jesus is above every other name. And I don't think any Christian would actually have any problem with that. But they say that this has now damaged the Hindu community's belief system. It advocates religious intolerance and the superiority of one religion over others, and is obviously therefore in flagrant violation of the Constitution. But they've demanded a public apology. They've demanded that the pastors undergo over 200 hours of community service, and that they pay 1 million rand's worth of damages. So, again, this is a very concerning case in our context, where we obviously are living in a multi-faith society where faiths do coexist, and everybody has the right to believe what they want, and they're allowed to teach it, preach it, believe it, live it out. That is our constitutional protection. So the fact that this is a case that has now been instituted is concerning. But I think on a positive note, the CRL Rights Commission is also considering involvement. They've actually been cited as a respondent in this case, as have the Human Rights Commission. And we're certainly hoping that this will be mediated without actually going to court. Because, again, you do not want this type of case to set a precedent, because almost certainly it will be used negatively by others going forward.
Sure. Really interesting. And then the third one that we just want to sort of touch on is a lawsuit that has been filed by the parents of a boy who was temporarily excluded from a private Christian school because he was wearing an isiphandla. Tell us about that, please.
Yes, well, an isiphandla is a goatskin bracelet given at a ceremony, and it obviously has connection to ancestors and it's supposed to be worn until it falls off. And the school itself said that this was contrary not only to their dress code, but also to their belief systems. And again, whether the process and the procedure that was followed by the school was correct or not, this is all going to be a matter of the courts to decide. But I think that perhaps the concerning thing about this is, again, not only is a public apology asked for and sensitization training and 300,000 rands worth of damages, but of course, the other thing is that the school is being told that they must amend their policy. So the question is, do you as a private association, remember this is not a public school, this is a private Christian school, should you as a private association, and churches for that matter are private associations, should you be forced to amend effectively what amounts to your belief system simply because there are other sectors of society or other groups or what have you that actually don't like particularly the rules of your association? And so the danger here is that this might cross over, this case, into a situation whereby the freedom of associations to set their own rules and regulations, and it's like a membership, you know. For example, if you and I join the vegan society, but the next week you come along with a fillet steak, they wouldn't want us there, not because there's anything wrong with a fillet steak, but because we're actually in the wrong club.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a similar type of situation. I use a rather foolish example to make a point.
Yeah.
That has always been the case, that if you are a private association, then you agree to the rules of that association, you agree to abide by them, and then the moment comes when you don't like them and you're not happy, then of course you can disassociate and you can go and join another association.
Yeah.
So this is going to be, again, a significant case and could set a very significant precedent.
Sure. That is really interesting. The other thing, and again, it's very real for many believers, many Christians, is the whole thing of Sunday worship. And we've had this conversation, but perhaps people have missed it. We've seen casinos being allowed to be open and filling 50% of their floor space. We've seen a variety of things, businesses, I beg your pardon, reopening and getting back out. But when it comes to churches, no matter how big or small a church is, there are only 50 people allowed in the building. So what are we hoping for, Michael?
Well, there was a major representation to the president. 4SA was part of that conversation. We represent approximately 50 million people from across the faith community. And we believe, really, from a point of view of fairness, and that people should be allowed, given the fact that the pandemic is on the wane and other sectors of society are open, that we should simply be treated the same way and allowed to open up to 50%. Not that you have to, not that people have to attend if you do, but that at least there should be the freedom to do so. And the president did state last week that he was considering this, that had gone to the National Corona Command Center, and we are expecting an announcement this coming week. Not quite sure exactly when, no announcement's been made, but we're certainly hopeful that the president will amend the regulations and at least make them equal for religious gatherings, which obviously would very importantly involve churches, to recommence at the earliest opportunity. So that's certainly what we're hoping for. And it's certainly been the result of a lot of hard work and a lot of pressure, and also a reflection of the current reality of the situation as it affects our society. Mm.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Earlier this morning, we were talking about the reality that this day in history, back in 1918, the Spanish flu hit South Africa, and the figures and that went along with that and so forth, and not to try and minimize what COVID-19 has done and how many lives have been lost in our country. But just the reality is everybody is saying we're over the worst. We are over the worst. So can we start getting back to some sense of normalcy? And I really do hope government will hear that plea and respond appropriately.
Well, the purpose of lockdown was to allow government to ramp up our health responses so that we could cope with what was an unknown pandemic. Yeah. And I think everybody agreed that that was the right thing to do. And they did. But now those very facilities are being dismantled. And so evidently, the government does have sufficient capacity to cope with whatever may result now.
Yeah.
But we also see statistically from the data that it is on the wane. And therefore, there is no seemingly valid reason why that these restrictions should be kept in place, particularly when there are unequal restrictions applied to different sectors of society for no apparently good reason.
Exactly. Always great chatting to you, Michael. And if I may say so, congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Jonathan. Yeah, very exciting.
And just so that the listeners know, Michael has agreed that sometime in this month, he's going to be sharing his personal story of hope, his personal testimony, just as to what the Lord has done in his life over the last couple of years. So really looking forward to that, I must say. We really are. Michael, thank you for chatting to us.
Thank you, Jonathan, and really look forward to sharing the next time.
Breakfast with Friends, exclusive to CCFM 107.5.